Welcome to this week's podcast from Church on the Rock. We hope that it will challenge and inspire you to be a more passionate follower of Jesus. For more information about Church on the Rock, visit us at cotrcalera.com.
So, this morning I want to talk to you just about moving forward in all that God has for you and us as in the life of the believer. You see, the nature of the believer is the nature of the believer, the Christ follower, however you want to phrase it, is to be moving forward. God has designed it in such a way that our natural progression and our natural position as a believer is that we are to be progressing and moving forward. In Job chapter 17, verse 9, it says that the righteous keep moving forward, and those who with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Even in Proverbs 4:18, it says the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining brighter and brighter to the light of day. The path of the righteous, it's like the morning sun. It's like the break of dawn. And that we are to be becoming brighter and brighter. That we should be moving forward and forward. The natural state and position of the believer is that we are to be moving and advancing, moving forward in our faith and all of those things. So this is an important aspect. But there are going to be times in our lives where maybe, we're going to feel like we got stuck, or there's going to be things that happen to us that affect us and our ability to move forward, and that everything that God has for us, these kinds of things happen. I think sometimes they happen just because of events that happen in our life, and that we allow ourselves to become, stuck, or, sometimes I believe that it's one of the schemes and strategies of the devil is to bring things into your life to, cause you to be stuck. Because if he can't pull you away from the kingdom of God and God's love and God's plans for your life, then he's just going to make you an ineffective, unfruitful believer. But God wants you to bear fruit, and he wants you to do good things, and he wants you the Bible says that you were created for good works by God to do great things, to do good things, that you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we see all of this in Scripture, and this is an important aspect of our life. And so what I want us to do is, even though we're not going to get into a ton of the story and dive right deep into it, we're going to use the story of the Israelites being set free from their captivity in Egypt as kind of like a background for maybe some points that I want to bring out to you today on, how do we live a life moving forward? How do we live our life in such a way that we don't allow ourselves to become stuck, and that we can constantly be moving forward in our faith? And so, so the first thing we're going to get into is Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. It says right here when Moses God's kind of having a conversation with Moses. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward.'" And this is a moment where the Israelites are stuck. They've been set free from Egypt, but now they're stuck between the Red Sea and their enemy. All right, I think I've even preached some sermons lately about this particular story, but this isn't what we're talking about today. But they're there, and God is telling Moses. He says, "Why are you crying out to me?" And he says, "Tell the sons of Israel that they're to move forward." Now, this command of God, came to the Israelites before the Red Sea was ever parted. So before there was ever a parting of the Red Sea, God had already told the Israelites to move forward. And there's going to be moments in your life where you're going to feel stuck. You're going to feel like that there are things that are bigger than you know how to deal with, or there's going to be mountains that you feel are too great for you to be able to overcome. And yet the word of God to you and to I is still the same, is that God wants us to move forward. And so God told them to do this. And so the first point that I want to make, that in our life, as our walk as a believer to move forward in the way that God wants us to, we have to walk by faith. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And so It's important to understand here the progression and what happened here is that God tells these Israelites to move forward before he ever uses Moses to split the Red Sea. And this is an important aspect. Even when you look at Peter, when Peter was on the boat and he was like, you remember Jesus showed him, he's like, hey, if it's you, tell me to come out. And Jesus said, come. Like Peter had to step before he could ever walk on water. He had to step out on the water to try to walk on water. Like that's, I don't know, like, you know, I think you have to think differently to be able to do that. You have to think about the decisions that you're making and where you're going and how you're facing the adversity and the problems that are in your life. You have to face those things and look at those things differently than normally. Because normally, like Peter, normally, you know, somebody say, well, that's not even possible. Why are you telling me to come to you when I can't go anywhere? Why would God tell the Israelites to move forward when there's a Red Sea sitting in their way? And that's the reason why it is a walk of faith that we have. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when you think about the basics of what it means to have faith, faith is substance. That means it's something that is tangible. It's something that's real. It's substance to what is hoped for. It's evidence of what you do not see. In other words, so you believe the word of God so strongly in a situation in your life that you take that as evidence that you are able to move forward. So, you know, Peter took the words of Jesus to come to me as being evidence that he was going to be able to step out of the boat and come to Jesus. And the only reason why he was able to walk on water was because he had faith. And so in order for us to not get stuck in our life, we also have, like, you have to understand, listen, the natural position of the believer is to be moving forward. And anytime we're stuck, we're not in the position we're supposed to be. So God always wants you to be advancing. He always wants you to be moving. And there's times in our lives where we aren't moving, mainly because we aren't doing the things we need to do to move. Or we cannot be moving because of other circumstances around us that are outside of our control that have got us stuck. But God says that he wants us to be moving forward, all right? That he's telling us to move forward, go forward, push forward. And this is the reason why it's important that we understand that. So the scripture says, listen, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Notice that it doesn't say that the journey or the path or the mile or, you know, some other form of explanation, he says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So the only thing that you need to have in front of you to be able to move forward is the next step. That's it. Just the next step. You know, God may not be able to give you the whole picture and tell you everything that's going to be able to happen, but if you'll just take the next step, you're moving forward, all right? Because one step at a time, like God sees the big picture. We see everything in a blur, especially when it comes to our future circumstances and situations. So everything in the future, we just don't understand. And sometimes we're like, well, I need this to be clear before I do this. And faith works exactly opposite. Faith says that God's given me a step. I don't see this. I don't understand this, but I'm going to take the next step. Because it's the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. So God wants you to move forward and he wants you to take steps. You just have to take the next step. And you take the next step and you take the next step. And every step along the way if every day of your life you step into what God has for you, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you'll be right in the middle of God's will. You don't have to worry about where am I going to be 10 years? What am I going to be doing in 20 years? You know, you don't have to worry about all those kinds of things. If today you'll say, I'm going to step right into what God has for me today. You just take the next step and you move forward, all right? And so this is what the Israelites did. They did. They began to move forward. God parted the Red Sea. They moved over. They get over into the wilderness. And the next thing we see is regression happening in the lives of the Israel. Because Moses goes up on the mountainside to meet with God. However, the people had no interest in meeting with God. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, it says that they said to Moses, Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but let not God speak to us or we will surely die. So the thing that I think that's really important in our own walk with God and our ability to move forward is to get your own rhema word from God. All right. Now, there's two different Hebrew words in Scripture that talk about the Word of God. One is the Logos Word of God, and one is the Rhema Word of God. Okay, this is the Logos Word of God. It is the written Word of God. So, this is the final authority on all spiritual matters. So, if you tell me that you believe it's God's will for you to cheat your brother or something, I'm going to be like, I don't know what God you're serving, but it ain't this God, okay? Because God says in His Word already that that's not okay. So you can't say something that contradicts the Logos Word of God. And like, if an angel comes and visits you in your room, and they tell you to do something that contradicts what is in this, okay, then that angel is not from the Lord, all right? Because this is the final authority on all spiritual matters. Now, we could talk about, like, why that is, where did this come from, how do we get this, why do we know that? That's a different topic for a different day, of course. But, you know, Galatians, Paul, the Apostle Paul even tells us that even if an angel of light comes to you and gives you a different gospel than what we give, may he be eternally condemned. Why? Because Lucifer was an angel of light. Lucifer was an angel. All the demons and demonic spirits were angels. And I don't know where we get this idea that they're walking around with tails and horns and pitchforks and stuff like that. I think that has more to do with fear-based, you know, mythology than anything. But the devil was an angel. Matter of fact, Lucifer was one of the most beautiful angels in all of heaven. So if he shows up, he's going to show up like he's an angel, okay? And that's the reason why the Word of God is so important in our life. But we have to have a rhema Word of God. And what that means is that you need to hear from God yourself, okay? And Moses goes up on the mountain to speak to God, and he's coming down giving the message to the people, where the people don't want to hear from God themselves, all right? And, like, you don't want church to become like what that is for these people. Like, you need a rhema Word from God yourself about your life, about what you're doing, about where you're going, okay? Because the reason why Jesus died on that cross and rose from the dead is so that you could be in a relationship with the Father, not so that you could come on Sunday morning and hear the pastor tell you about what you need to do for God. Like, you need to be able to hear from God yourself. You need to be able to hear God's word and what he says to you. The scripture, even Jesus says that my sheep know my voice. In Romans, it says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Like, you got to be able to hear God for you. And you need to be able to know his voice and hear his voice and understand what it sounds like. It's no different. Like, I think it's interesting when you look, and I know I've talked about this before, but like, When Adam was in the garden and he had sinned, the Bible says that he heard the sound of God in the garden. Like, I don't know, like, that's like Adam had an intimate relationship with God to such a degree that he knew when God was walking in the garden. Okay? It's kind of like there are oftentimes I can tell in my family who's walking around upstairs just because of how they sound when they walk. Okay? I mean, we got some thumpers. Boom. Like, it was a herd of buffalo up there walking around upstairs, all right? And you can almost, because when you hear something over and over again, you become attuned to it. Like, there are people that I know that if I don't have to have call waiting or whatever, not call waiting, caller ID, okay, to know who it is, because if I answer the phone, I'm going to recognize their voice because I'm in a relationship with them, all right? And it should be the same way with God. And it's the way we hear God. It's the way we communicate. And you say, well, how do I hear God? Well, maybe you ought to, like, quiet everything else in your life and listen, okay? Listen. Turn all the noise off. Turn the chaos off and listen. Listen to what he tells you to say. And then understand the way God speaks to you in moments of your life. Even and when you begin to hear him, then you can hear him in some of the chaos and some of the craziness. And you can think to yourself, like, hey, I just thought, man, I should go up here and give somebody a hug. And I'm like, well, that's not the devil telling you to go hug nobody. Because, like, when it was, the devil's going to be telling you to go, unless it's, you know, the wrong kind of hug for the wrong person, you know. But you need to be able to hear God for yourself. You need to be able to hear the Rhema word of God so that you can understand that. And I know that a lot of you in here can relate to this. I raised some real first world kids. I'm not going to lie. Okay. I love my children for sure. And the truth be known is that I probably was this way at some level too. But I've had these moments, you know, shout me down if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I've had these moments where my kids, and this was probably a while back when my kids were a little bit younger and we were all hanging around the house, and they would be like sitting in the living room watching TV. And I would ask them like something like, hey, y'all want something to eat? And they're like, yeah, I'm super hungry, Dad, super hungry, you know, bring me something to eat. I'm like, no, you come in here and get it yourself, all right? And then they never get up off the couch to come get it themselves. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they want me to bring them the food, but they don't want it enough to get up off, you know, and go get it themselves, okay? Look, we don't want to be that way in our walk with God, okay? Where we're too spiritual lazy to go get it ourselves, to feed ourselves, to grow ourselves, to, like, you know, only babies and infants have to be fed, right? And if you leave a church and you say, oh, I'm just not being fed there, well, like, what are we doing? I mean, what are we doing? Why aren't you feeding yourself? You know, to some degree, is that not true? Shouldn't we be feeding ourselves and learning how to grow and learning God's word and studying God's word and getting a rhema word of God for ourselves? And I'm not saying that I don't have a responsibility to do my job and to come and bring a word. I mean, I do. I have a responsibility to do everything that God has called me to do. But we all have responsibility to walk our walk and to not be self-dependent upon other people to make sure that I'm progressing and moving forward in my relationship with God. It's not somebody else's responsibility to make me into a mature follower of Jesus. It's my responsibility. Okay? I need to grow. I need to learn. I need to hear God from me. I mean, look, it's true. I believe in the prophetic. I've never ever considered myself to be a prophet at any level. I know God's given me words of knowledge and words of wisdom before, but it's not on a regular basis. But even a prophet, like, you shouldn't be looking for a prophet to give you a word from God all the time. Like, a prophet can come and give you a word, but you still kind of need to shelf that and see if it happens and make sure it registers with your spirit, because you got to hear God for you. All right, you got to hear God for you, and you got to hear that Rhema word. And you don't want to be like the Israelites, where you're like, hey, Moses, you go hear from God. I'm just going to chill down here because I don't want to deal with that. No, we got to be better than that. We got to grow further than that. You need a word of God, word from God concerning your situation that you're in and everything that you're going through. All right, the third thing is that we don't give in to fear. If you want to move forward, you want to move forward in your faith, you can't give in to fear. So look, we've got to walk in faith. All right, we got to hear for God for ourselves, and we can't live in fear. I think one of the things that when you look throughout, you know, you look in this passage in the story of the Israelites with, you know, I think one of the things that happened is, you know, God's ultimate objective was to move the people out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. And he didn't want them to spend 40 years in the wilderness, but they did. And the reason why they did was because of fear. Because they went in and spied out the land. And then, you know, they came back and they were like, hey, there's giants in the land. We don't even really know how many giants there were. I guess they saw one, maybe a couple. And they felt like that they couldn't do it. All, you know, nine or so of the guys that went and spied out the land said that, hey, it can't be done. And they were afraid. And because of fear, they found themselves wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And they all died off before the next generation got to inherit the Promised Land because they didn't have fear. So So you can't walk in fear. And here's the thing that I think is interesting to know. Like, when you look at the story of the wilderness, where the Israelites in the wilderness, and it's just some of the most incredible miracles in the Bible are found in the wilderness. God raining down manna in the morning, and then quail in the evening, and then he would, there was a pillar of fire that followed them at night to keep them warm, and there was clouds. They got a cloud cover in the desert during the day to keep them from the scorching heat, and lots of other miracles where Moses would take a staff and hit a rock, and water would come pouring out, and you think about all those miracles, and those are crazy things. But God didn't want them in the wilderness. And guess what was in the wilderness? Miracles. And we all like the miraculous side of God. Like, man, I love seeing the miracles of God. But have you ever thought about, like, where do you have to be in your life to need a miracle? Not in a very good place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you think about it, like, I don't want to really be in that place where I need a miracle, because that means I'm in a bad place, all right? And it's just like the Israelites. The Israelites were not where God ultimately wanted them to be. Where did God want them to be? God wanted them to be in the promised land. And what was in the promised land? All the food they could possibly eat, shelter, place where they could, look, a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it was a prosperous place. It was a good place. And guess what was not going to be in the promised land? A pillar of fire and cloud cover, and it wasn't going to be manna in the morning. There was going to be quail in the evening, all that kind of stuff. The miracles that form of miracles didn't follow them into the promised land, right? Because God wanted them to live in a place where they could live in abundance. And they weren't having to be sustained by some kind of miraculous thing, but that God could bring them into a land where they lived in abundance and in increase, and they would own that land. And that was where God ultimately wanted them to be. But it was fear that kept them out of that place. All right? Fear is what did it. And we see this, this story here, and sometimes in our life, in our walk with God, fear can paralyze us and get us stuck too. And just like with, later on in the story of the Israelites, there was another moment where the whole nation becomes gripped by fear, and it was with Goliath. And it took one little boy, David, at the age of 13 or 14 years old, who said, you know what? I'm not going to allow this person to allow us to live in fear. And he was the only one to stand up against somebody who was threatening the covenant relationship that God had with the Israelites. And so, like, if you want to move forward in your life, you can't allow fear to keep you held back for whatever that is. Fear of accomplishing the purposes of God in your life. If God's given you some kind of calling or some kind of mission in your life, you're like, I don't know what that looks like. And that means I'm going to have to talk in front of people, or it means I'm going to do this. You can't, like, you can't let fear control you, whether it's fear of moving forward into the purpose and mission of God, or fear of the unknown, or fear of the problems that you're facing, fear of the giants that are standing before you, telling you that your life's going to be terrible and you're going to live in misery all the days of your life. Okay, we can become paralyzed by fear and all of these things, but you can't let fear overcome you, and it's the reason why. All throughout Scripture, God's Word says, fear not. I mean, I think that I don't even know if it's accurate, but they say that there's 365 moments in the Bible where God says, do not fear, or some form of do not fear. Like one for every day of your life, every day of your year, okay? Do not fear. Why does the Bible say it over and over and over again? Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. Because God doesn't want us to live in fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, right? And we have to understand that. In order to move forward, we can't allow that to control us. And Rob, if you'll come. The last thing that we see is, as we're looking at this progression in the life of the Israelites, and one of the things that we see in Scripture is that God set something up with the Israelites. After they moved into the promised land, there was something that God did to... with the Israelites, and he set this thing up. And the thing that I'm talking about today is worship, or praise and worship, and why this is so significantly important. We talked about this last week a little bit too. Why this is so significantly important in our life. In Isaiah chapter 54, starting in verse 1. It says, "Shout for joy, O barren one, you have borne no children. Break forth in joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more than numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge your place of your tents. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will settle the desolate cities." There's a prophetic message here to the nation of Israel, telling them that, you know, they were kind of in a position where they didn't feel like that they were, you know, they were moving forward. And God's word here, even though there's a lot more to this particular message, God's word to them was to, like, shout for joy, to praise God, to praise Him, to honor Him, to worship Him. It is, you know, the scripture tells us that if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out on our behalf. And, like, that's just because God's going to get His praise. He's going to get His praise. And when you look at the nation of Israel, Israel was made up of 12 tribes. All of them were named after Jacob's 12 sons. And God used these tribes to illustrate how He moves His people into new places. He used these 12 tribes to illustrate how God moves His people into new places. And one of the tribes was called the tribe of Judah. And Judah represents praise. And the tribe of Judah would lead whenever Israel set off to new land. They would be the first ones to march out towards battle. The tribe of Judah camped on the east because they would be the first to see the sunrise every morning, and Israel would begin its days with praise going first. In Numbers chapter 10, verses 13 through 14, it says that when the people set out for the first time, following the instructions of the Lord He had given through Moses, Judah's troops led the way. God had established this pattern that whenever the nation of Israel moved into new places, that the tribe of Judah was the one that went first. Everywhere they went, the tribe of Judah would lead the way. If they went into battle, the tribe of Judah would go before them. Whenever they would set camp, Judah would be on the east, so that the first thing that come up in the morning was praise. And the tribe of Judah represents this praise and worship that God wants us to understand, is that as we move forward, okay, and as we move forward, God has this plan for us and a desire for us to be in a posture of praise, right? He wants us to be in a posture of worship. It's the first thing. And when we wake up in the morning, then we give God praise. And when we wake up in the morning, we give Him worship. It's the first thing. It's the first thing of our life. And then when we're going through a difficult time, listen, we lead with praise. When we're going through a trial, we lead with praise. When we go through moving into new places and new positions, we lead with praise. As we're moving forward in our journey, in our path with God, we lead with praise. Because that's the way that God had set it up for us as believers. That we lead with praise. Our whole life should be led with praise and worship to God. In their history, Israel had hundreds of years of slavery. But God didn't just promise to bring them out of slavery. He promised that He would be their God through their entire journey. And praise was set at the forefront of every time they moved into a new position. When they were doing it right, of course. There were times they weren't doing it right. They did it their own way. When they were doing it right, that's the way it was supposed to be. It's the way God commanded it. It was supposed to be a lifestyle that they lived. And when we praise God and we worship God, God goes out and fights the battles for us. Right? Because the scripture tells us that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is His. We have victory through Christ because Christ wins the battle. Because He is great and because He is overcome. And He'll give us the strength to do the same. Will you stand to your feet this morning? So four things: you walk by faith, hear your own word from God. You need to hear, get your own rhema word from God. You need to be able to hear the word of God. Don't live in fear, and lead the way with praise. I mean, I'll just be honest. Sometimes when you're going through a hard season of your life and a difficult moment, it's hard to do spiritual things sometimes. I don't know. Am I the only one? Okay. I know that's weird. The pastor over here saying, yeah, it's hard. It is hard sometimes. I mean, because it's just the flesh. I mean, the flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. The flesh doesn't want to worship. When you're down and out and you're just bummed out and you've got a lot of problems, the last thing you want to do sometimes is worship. You just don't feel like it. The last thing you want to do sometimes is press in to hear from God because you just don't feel like it. It's just easier just to turn on the smart TV and hit Netflix and, you know, veg out on whatever's on. But just like anything else in our life, the things that are best for us oftentimes are the hardest things for us to do. But if we'll just do it, then we gain from it. We grow in it. And God wants you to grow. Remember, the natural position of the believer is to be moving forward. God wants you to be moving forward. If you've been stuck for a while, if you've been stuck for a couple months, you've been stuck for a couple years or weeks, God wants you to be moving forward. If you're not moving forward, it's time, listen, to start moving forward. Even if it's just one step, you don't have to see the big picture, just one step. Just take a step. Just believe God and honor Him with your life and say, God, I'm going to give you everything I have, all that I am, and I'm going to step forward in the purposes that you have for me. Come on, you just close your eyes. Father, God, this morning, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, God, for your word that you've given to us. And God, we honor you today. And we ask, God, that you would move in our lives so that we can move forward in faith. So that we could hear your voice more clearly, so that we would not be, you know, held captive by fear, and so that we would live a life of praise and worship to you, guiding every step of the way that we move. Hallelujah. Listen, if some of our prayer team will come down the front, just like always, if you have prayer this morning, you need somebody to agree with you, just in touching heaven, and make, you know, you need somebody to pray with you. We want to pray with you today. If not, worship God as we close out the service today. So let's just worship God together.